Welcome to MCC Detroit on the web at mccdetroit.org. And now, here's this week's message.
The first reading is from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, 10 through 15, chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. One day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There, the angel of God appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of the bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it did not burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it." When God saw Moses coming closer to take a look, God called to him from the middle of the bush. "Moses, Moses."
"Here I am,"
Moses replied. "Do not come any closer," God warned. "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then God told him, "I certainly have seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses protested to him, "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead your people out of Egypt?" God answered, "I will be with you, and this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain." But Moses protested, "If I go to the people of Israel and tell them the God of your ancestors has sent me, they will ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what should I tell them?" God replied to Moses, "I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my external name, my name to remember for all generations.'" But Moses pleaded with God, "I am not very good with words. I never have been. I am now, even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled." Then God said to Moses, "Who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or not speak, hear or not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, God? Now go. I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you on what to say." But Moses again pleaded, "God, please, send anyone else."
Please rise for the reading of the gospel. Today's reading is from Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told the disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Creator, Savior, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this: I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
So, stage fright. I'm going to guess every single one of us gets it. Every one of us. I know I do. When I get ready, this morning my stage fright is worse than it's ever been. Reverend Adrian came to our house for a little bit before she came down here, and I kind of barked at her, and I'm sorry. And, you know, it's like today is intimidating for some reason with this message. Must be an important one, because that's usually the way God works with me. When it's an important one, I get real nervous with it. And as we develop character, many of us get nervous. Developing character is a tough thing to do, because usually that means we have to kind of round off some rough edges. And that is not comfortable. Well, maybe it's comfortable for some other folks, but it's not comfortable for me, I'll tell you that. I get used to those rough edges and kind of know what they are and where they are. So God just kept telling me, and I know Brian probably thought I was more crazy of a nut than he already knew I was, when I kept saying, nope, I'm talking about Moses today. Moses, really? A man that developed great character and was afraid of who he was called to be. You see, the story really starts out with Moses being born to an Israelite couple. But it was right before his birth, and I want to let you hear the end of the first chapter of Exodus, and it's the very last verse. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all God's people: throw every newborn Hebrew boy into the Nile River, but you may let the girls live. You see, he didn't want the Hebrew generation to grow. And so it was about this time, this is the beginning of the second chapter, a man and a woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was special and kept him hidden for 3 months. But then she could no longer hide him. She got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in a basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen to him. Can you imagine? Can you imagine keeping a baby quiet and hidden for 3 months? Really? The way babies cry? I don't think they had good soundproofing on those places that they lived. Here, there's a few jokes in here, you guys. We could just like, okay, it's okay. Whew. Okie dokie, this audience is, okay. So, can you imagine keeping that baby quiet? And yet, she knew she had to, because she saw something special in that baby. You know, I believe that if we did a survey of all of the mothers in this room and all of the fathers in this room, they would probably tell us, yeah, I saw something very special in my baby's face. And I believe that's what God says when God looks at each and every one of us when we're born. God sees something special in each of us that God needs us to be able to accomplish. Because if we don't accomplish that, it won't get done. It won't get done. Now that I haven't laid too much on us, let's go to God in prayer. Most wonderful God, I thank you that no matter what we see in this world, kings and kingdoms and presidents and princesses will all pass away. Thank you, Jesus. And yet, you will stand. So God, we put our lives in your hands. We open our hearts to let you direct us to that special thing that you see in each one of us and call us to develop the character to do. In Jesus' name, amen. The story of Moses is a long story, and I encourage you to take the time and read it. It's a really important story. Moses is named as one of the two principal characters of the Old Testament, one of the two most important characters of the Old Testament. Moses then was taken into a family, and he lived in Pharaoh's home. He lived there in that home of privilege, and he was raised as one of the Egyptians. And yet, as he lived there, as he worked there, and as I'm sure he loved his parents there, he knew what was happening to his people was wrong. He knew. And at one point, Scripture says, all of a sudden, he knew it was time to act. He knew something had to happen. That was told to him when he was in the wilderness. He spent many years in the wilderness. The story that we heard about Moses today, he was 80 years old. So we know we have something special in us, right? Mm-hmm. How, now this is real talk. You ready? How many of us? I can just about get. I was told I had something special, and here I am 33, and nobody's, I haven't seen it yet. Here I am 5, and I haven't seen it yet. Here I am 60, really 60, that's half dead, and I haven't seen it yet. Hey, I'm feeling it, sorry. You know, we look around when we get in our 60s and our 70s, and we think about the people that we hear about who we are losing that are younger than us. And we begin to look at those timelines in a very different way. So maybe I make a joke of it, but it's very real for many of us. It is a very real fear in many of us, and it causes stage fright in many of us. Because how can we actually step out on a stage when I'm not sure this leg is going to hold me up, and if I'm going to fall again, please don't let it be in front of this whole congregation? Mm-hmm. So I'm telling you a true story. Because we get very impatient and we think somehow in our brains, we think that our young people can't have visions and tell us truths. And we think our older folks can't have vision and tell us truths. That it's really all those middle-aged folks, you know, who have gone through all of life's trials and are now, they've arrived, they can tell us the truths. Because, you know, when those older folks start doing it, maybe their minds are slipping a little bit. Maybe it's not really reality. Maybe they're quoting some movie. You know, maybe it's a hallucination, right? And young people, they haven't lived long enough. How in the world can they be knowing these great truths? So we discount two-thirds of society. We discount two-thirds of society as they step onto that stage and get ready to audition for life's journey, when they have been given a truth to tell and they have been told it's time. Now is the time to act. Now, I'm getting actually a little nervous because the more I see the things happening in our world and especially in our country, thank you, 45, I'm getting angrier and angrier at the numbers of people we are leaving out, the numbers of people we are making judgments about. Who deserves first aid packs and who deserves rolls of paper towels? You know what? I'm getting angry about it. And God's starting to tell me we need to do something. I'm so glad as God is saying we. Because I don't really want to be the only one stepping out there, but I'm getting so passionate about it, I'm willing to be the only one stepping out there. It. If everybody stops and waits for somebody else to do it, there won't be anybody here to help us.
That's true.
And look at what we will be giving up. America is something good.